Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Hey, Dude, the 90s called. I am Christine, one of your co-hosts.
Hi, everybody. I'm David, your other co-host.
How's it going?
I've just had a day, man. I had a lot of things rescheduled today. I was late for a very important meeting, which drives me crazy. I was getting out of the shower and I was getting texts. We're on the Zoom.
No. Did you just have it wrong on your calendar?
No, it was
like my birthday. Your calendar that never lies to
your birthday I will never get wrong again, but it was a meeting scheduled for Friday. They got called into an emergency production meeting, so they rescheduled for Tuesday, and I didn't update my calendar. Then our interview today that's coming up got rescheduled Wednesday to today. So I'm in a mishmash, and then I had How are you?
Short circuit. Gives me anxiety and stress, and I'm sweating thinking about it because it's so stressful. It's funny. I did a Zoom reading for a friend's script over the weekend. Same thing happened to one of the other actors in it. They were texting because we were getting ready to start, and they were texting the guy and saying, "We're all on. Are you here?" And he texted him back, goes, "I'll be right there." And then he comes on the Zoom and he's driving. He goes, "I'm sorry. I thought it was at 2:00. You guys, I'll be home in 20 minutes. Start without me and I'll log in."
It's like those nightmares you have.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah,
it's a total nightmare. Our guest is in the waiting room. So, I mean, this is so exciting. So we have Chris Kirkpatrick in the waiting room, another NSYNCer. And I'm so excited to talk to him and hear, because we got Lance's side of things. I'd love to hear
Chris's. And Chris is the founder. He put the band together.
I know, which I didn't know.
I did not know this.
So let's invite Chris in.
Yeah.
Chris!
Hey!
Welcome!
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
We are so excited. We had Lance on a little bit ago, and so we got to hear a little bit from Lance's point of view, but you know, I was reading up, you're sort of you're the origin of all of this.
OG.
You're the OG. Like you're the madman
of NSYNC,
which is insane. Yeah. So we have to hear it from your lips.
Yeah. What do you want to know?
Well, first of all, you're a Pennsylvania boy, I saw. Yes.
Correct.
I grew up in Pennsylvania myself.
Where at?
Just outside of Allentown.
Oh, what? East Coast.
East Coast. East side. Yes, exactly. I know it's a big state.
I'm a west sider up in the mountains with the hillbillies. We're all hillbillies up there.
But tell us a little bit of your story of how I've read a lot about your upbringing, but a little bit about what those steps were getting you to where you're at today.
Yeah. So it started, you know, I was always in music groups. I was always doing musical stuff, arranging, putting together quartets, quintets. It wasn't until probably high school that I realized quartets were kind of where it's at. Like it was fun to sing four part harmonies and the girls liked it. And it was a way for girls to notice me because I was too small. Yeah.
It's always the girls.
Always about the girls. But yeah, I was too small on the football field to make a difference. So I tried to make a difference singing. And, you know, it basically came about. I moved to Orlando. I was in a bunch of quartets. You know, I'd arrange them, put guys together, and you know, we'd perform at different coffee shops or whatever. And got introduced to Lou Pearlman, who said, "Hey, I just put together this group, the Backstreet Boys. And I'm willing to take your group on, you know, as a second group." And I was like, cool. So he took my group on and, you know, my group kind of dissipated and guys would leave and different guys would come in. And then finally it was me, Justin, JC and Joey. And we had a group for a long time. And, you know, it seemed like everything was working out great, but we always were missing that bass sound. And a few years, that's when we finally got and found Lance and brought Lance into the group, and the rest is, you know, NSYNC.
When Justin was on that, I remember meeting him on the Mickey Mouse Club. I think I was a guest of it. Right? So
on the Mickey Mouse Club?
I think I must have been on the show Blossom at the time, early 90s. I flew to Orlando, and there was, I can't remember. That show launched a lot of great singers.
I was so lucky to find Justin, you know, from that show. It had come down to where it was just me left in the group. And I was like, you know what? I was going to karaoke places. I was going to everywhere. trying to find guys that I knew wanted to sing, you know, a cappella and, you know, do that kind of music. And I called a bunch of agents. I mean, I was looking at everything, and I had one guy call me back, and, you know, he basically said, "I've got this kid, but whatever." And, you know, threw me a manila envelope, and that's how I found Justin. Justin brought in JC, and like you said, that Mickey Mouse group, I mean, I was just thinking about that today because my wife was watching a movie and Kerry Russell was on. And I was like, oh my God, there's another one. You know, it was like Kerry Russell's on there. Christina, Brittany, Justin, Tony Luca, Jen McGill, you know,
Ryan.
There
was a lot. Ryan.
Yep.
Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling.
Oh my goodness. Who was casting that show? They should have a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Billions. I remember when Justin first got into the group, he would tell all these Mickey Mouse stories about how little him and Ryan would run around, and he's like, "Oh, we were crazy. Like we would drink Coke instead of Diet Coke." You know, it's like
we were rebels.
They were rebels. Drink milk that expired yesterday.
Disney style rebel.
Disney style.
As Disney-fied as you can be, rebelliously.
But Chris, how did you get from Pennsylvania to Orlando? And was it the music? I mean, was that what took you there, or was there a family move, or how did that transition happen?
I graduated high school in Ohio, actually. And when I graduated at the age of 18, I was like, man, I got to get out of this town and go somewhere different. And my dad at the time lived in Orlando. And he said, I used to go spend the summers with him in Orlando. And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to move down with him and I'm going to start school, you know, thinking I was going to get into some amazing school and, you know, whatever, do stage work, whatever. And, you know, I came down and couldn't get into anywhere, but I got into a community college because my grades were so bad. And, you know, ended up, that's how I met the guy that introduced me to Lou. And that's how Howie and I actually were in choir together. And there was a crazy rumor going around that I auditioned for Backstreet Boys and didn't get it. And that always irks me because it's not true. You know, I never auditioned. I didn't even get to the audition phase. Like Howie came in and when they were auditioning guys for the group, he auditioned one of the guys in my quartet because he didn't need another dark haired or as he called it, like asshole, obnoxious guy.
Wait, Howie put the Backstreet Boys together?
No, Lou put the Backstreet Boys together, but Howie was, when they were having auditions for the Backstreet Boys, he came in and told one of the guys that was in one of my quartets that he should go audition for the Backstreet Boys. I said, good luck with that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You must have been excited when you saw how the Backstreet Boys exploded, because what you were working on was right in their wheelhouse, right? And you were right about what you thought was hot.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true in a lot of ways, but they hadn't exploded yet. Like they had just started doing like some high school tour around the United States, you know, and they didn't have a single yet. So, but I saw that Lou was putting money into it and they could actually do it as a living. So to me, that was the draw. It was like, I could see the Backstreet Boys are now, you know, they don't have to do work at the Outback like I do. They can go out and gig and, you know, make money doing it. So, you know, that's how I got with Lou and, you know, we just got so, so lucky in timing and the perfect storm and, you know, the way pop music was coming in at the time, but we started in Europe. So, you know, that perfect wave kind of started in basis in Europe and, you know, getting our chops ready over there and our feet wet. And, you know, we just kind of learned a lot about the business and a lot about performing and each other, because, you know, here we were, you know, five American kids thrown into all these different countries in Europe and having to do TV shows that our friends and families had never seen or, you know, things like that. But it made us better as a group, I think.
Yeah, you were all so young. Like, I mean, really, to sort of be thrown into, like, leaving the United States, and now you're like, okay, we're working, we're, you know, I mean, Lance explained a little bit of the intensity of it, you know, and that you were so young that it was sort of like, you just did everything. It didn't matter. It was like, you were so excited and so into it, but just how it snowballed and how you just started to never get days off and never, you know, you guys were with each other 24/7, right?
Oh, see, I was a little older. You know, because I moved down when I was 18 and the group didn't start happening for another 5 years. So I was like 22, 23 years old. So I'd already had a head on my shoulders. You know, I'd been to college, I'd been to school, and, you know, the other guys were a little younger. But mentally, you know, coming from such a small town and not understanding, you know, JC and Justin had been on the Mickey Mouse Club. They'd done award shows. They've done all these other things already. You know, Justin was on Star Search, I think, and, you know, all these other things. So it's like with that aspect, I was kind of behind because I was from such a small town that never got out and never really experienced the world like some of them had, which was funny that here I was the oldest going, wow, so this is what it's like to fly on an airplane, you know, type of deal.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like that, like coming from small towns, like that is really true. I mean, even for me growing up, we didn't take trips to Europe as a family. We did, you know, we went to Maine. We did, you know, like I was on the swim team and the diving team. And you know, you have a very, I'm not saying for everybody, but in some cases, yeah, you really don't get to experience those things. But even I look at all of us now. And you're saying you had a great, but you're like, I was 22, 23. It's still so young. Yeah. Like it's still like, yeah. I look back on that period of time for all of us. We all sort of felt like we knew what we were doing, but man.
But that wasn't like, that wasn't a little vacation to Europe. I mean, Lance told us he came to audition for you and they're like, oh, you're moving to Germany for a year or something.
Yeah, basically we were over there for a really long time because that's where that type of music was blowing up at the time. I mean, that's where... I think the term boy band actually was, we first even ever heard it when we were over there because they were throwing out all these different bands. And I think what separated us was that we were American. And, you know, when you go over there and you're in Germany, we were mostly in Germany, but Germany, Austria, Switzerland area, you know, we went all up through the Scandinavian countries. We went to Spain, we went to France, we went to, you know, all these different areas. But everywhere we went had their own kind of version of what they thought a boy band was. And we'd go in and these places were like, well, we got four or five good looking guys that don't sing and don't dance. But, you know, there they are. And then some places we go in.
What do you mean don't sing? You guys sang.
Yeah. No, we did. I'm saying.
No, over there. Yes.
Over there. Oh, okay. We'd go in and some of these other bands. Were like there. I remember one band, and I know they're a big band, or they were pretty big. They were, I think they were in one of the original Korean bands named H.O.T. And these guys came out, and I mean, they were breakdancing. They were doing all this crazy stuff. And we looked at them going, all right, now we got to match that. So, you know, so we'd go out and we'd have to sing and then try to match their intensity with their dancing and all this stuff. So everywhere we went was kind of a challenge with, you know, that country's band that we had to kind of compete against and try to be better than.
That's so cool, though. What a training ground for you guys before you launched in America to have those. You took influences from different countries. You got to work your stuff out and find out who you are as a band before. I mean, I'm not going to say it, but the original boy band, right, is the Beatles. And they found themselves in Europe. And then when they arrived in America, it was like, oh, game on.
Yeah. It really did. And, you know, not to say that every show was great or not to say that every show was bad, but every show we took something from what we did and we said, all right, we can make this better. Or, you know, going into Korea and seeing these kids doing this breakdance and we're like, all right, well, we have to compete with that. And then also stop and do 5-part harmonies. So, you know, that was really, really fun. And we got to experience every aspect. And that's kind of what, you know, made us who we are. And we brought in all the aspects of fashion, of style, of vocals, of dancing, of all these different things, and kind of formed that into what we thought would be the perfect band.
Yeah, you could take all of those influences and really shape it to suit all of your strengths, right?
Right.
Lance told us he wasn't really a dancer. So talk to us a little bit about the dance, because you talked so much about the singing, but like, did you know straight off that the dancing needed to be an element, or was it going over there and seeing what other bands were doing?
Yeah, I think straight off we were a vocal group, you know, yeah. and that's why, you know, you have to accept it. You know, we're old now. It's like, yeah, we were a boy band, but the term boy band to us was this thing that we weren't. Like, we weren't trying to sell bedspreads and trying to just be, you know, and teen
like sex magazine symbols. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, obviously this is not like, it's hard to be this good looking all the time. You know, it just, it was one of those things that we understood that part of it, but that wasn't who we were, you know. And we started as a vocal group, and again, I used to arrange the stuff. And then as guys would come and go, depending on who was in the band at the time, you know, when we finally got the five of us, a key part of that band was a woman named Robin Wiley. And she was actually worked on the Mickey Mouse Club. She was the music director for the Mickey Mouse Club. And she came on board with us. And
it all comes back to the Mickey Mouse Club.
All comes back to the Mickey Mouse
Club. Everything, right?
No one would believe it. Our first choreographer was from the Mickey Mouse Club. We had a lot. Our first show we ever did, Justin's mom put out this big pamphlet, like spray to all the Mickey Mouse Club fans. And we did it at Disney. So we had, you know, a couple hundred Mickey Mouse Club kids coming in to watch this. Oh, what's this new band that JC and Justin are in? Which made me sick to my stomach, because I was like, they don't care about me. They're here to see the two Mouseketeers.
But it helps your cause, man. You know,
it definitely helps.
If one of you does well, you all do well.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We're a band first. And that's, you know, and again, that goes back to, we started, the reason Lance was, we found Lance was because we knew we needed a bass. And we had this kid, Jason, which is how we got the name, because he took the last letter of all of our first names and it spelled NSYNC. And then when Jason quit, we were like, all right, we have to get another Jason, which is funny because I know a couple of people that now I could have asked. I have a joke with Jason Aldean, because he knew Robin at that time and was working with Robin. And I was like, can you imagine if Robin would have said, hey, come join this band? We would have Jason Aldean as our bass, but he's not really a bass. But yeah, it was the sound first. And then once we realized that, you know, we were more than just the sound, like, we didn't want to stand there and just sing a cappella and just kind of, you know, snap our fingers and do mic stand tricks. It was like, we wanted to flip. We wanted to, you know, run around, jump as high as we could, break bones, do whatever we could on stage.
And was it, did that come easy for you? I mean, had you had any training in dance or was it like a crash course?
I mean, I like to go to clubs.
There you go. That's dancing.
You know, it wasn't the music I listened to. I listened to a lot of like punk and, you know, rock and roll type stuff. So it's like my dancing was a little different than.
Yeah, but during that time, I mean, Eddie Vedder was jumping off speakers into the crowd, right? It was a grunge scene. And then you guys brought this pop music back in that exact same time. So you maybe like had some influence from that.
Well, it's funny though, how if you look at the, you know, the way time and history works, that grunge scene took over from that rock scene, that hair band, you know, rock scene that was huge. And that was what everybody listened to. And then suddenly there was kind of a backlash towards that. So that's when grunge came out and guys were like, you know what? I'm not going to take 3 hours to get ready for a show. I'm going to run out on stage and do my show with a beer in my hand and a flannel shirt on and just sing music. And then there was a backlash towards that when it just became all this bubblegum pop and all this giant pop hit with Us and Backstreet, 98 Degrees and Britney, Christina, Pink. You know, all these acts were coming out that were just total step away from what the grunge was.
It's like a pendulum that swings. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You did a lot of the arrangements, but I want to get into, like, what was the songwriting process like? What was it like when you broke in America? But, you know, Lance talked about the recording, the rehearsal, the tour, rinse, repeat over and over and over. And you got into this cycle for years. But how was the songwriting, the recording, the rehearsal for the tour and the touring? That sounds grueling to me.
Well, and it was, but, you know, looking back on it, thank God we were as young as we were. Like, if you would have given me that schedule now, you know, I would have been like, you know where you can stick that. Like, I take my afternoon old man naps.
But, totally.
You know, it was, I'd worked so hard on getting that band to where it was and to who it was that I was like, you're not going to be able to stop me now. Like, you've given me the tools now, you know, sleep is just something that's going to get in the way of getting this done. So we had, you know, months and months on the road. Then we'd come home and they're like, okay, you have 2 weeks off. And those 2 weeks, you're like, well, we got to get together new songs. So I'd get together with different writers and, you know, you'd start writing and you'd be in the studio for 2 weeks. And then that 2 weeks is over. And okay, now we have to go do promotion. You go do promotion. And now, oh, you have to go do a record and go do the record. And when the record's finished, then it's more promotion. Then the next promotion is, okay, we're going back out on tour again. Till the following year, till you get those 2 weeks off, and those 2 weeks off were, you know, basically to write and arrange.
And the promotion, when you talk about promotion, like, just for our listeners to be clear, this was a period of time where you had to go to radio stations,
yeah,
all
sure,
across the country. This was not like doing Zooms or showing up at one talk show. I mean, you had to you were in the trenches.
Yeah, you had to be seen. You had to do radio shows, a lot of radio shows. And by that, I mean, not just going to the radio stations, but each individual station would put on a big jam session where they'd have all these bands come in and they'd be like, hey, we want you guys, you know, to come play this. And we're like, you know, forget it. We've only got one day in between traveling from here to Europe. And they're like, well, if you don't come play it, then we won't play your record. We're like, hey, how you doing? Bye.
What time do you want us there?
Yeah. So, you know, it was a lot of, you know, schmoozing the labels and definitely having to be around and throwing in there, you know, magazines and you know, the radio interviews where you have to go into each radio station. There's no call-ins. There's no Zoom calls. You know, it was in person and you showed up to the station and signed the wall or did some wacky bit that they wanted to do for the morning show or whatever it was.
Did their teasers, did their, you know, all of it.
So you'd fly into each city for like what, one night?
Well, it would depend. Like if, especially if we were on tour, you know, say we're playing Kansas City. Well, then they'd have all the radio stations that day lined up in Kansas City and we'd bounce around to each radio station that day. If it were for a record, it was usually flying to New York or LA and then hitting all the big ones there, the big syndicated, you know, TV shows or radio shows or whatever, or up to Boston. Or when you're on the East Coast, it's like we're doing Philly, you're doing New York, we're doing Boston, then we're coming back and doing Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, you know, and they try to make them all, you know, close to each other so we could get as many in as we could.
Wow. We had Carson Daly, who's a good friend of Christine and mine, and he was on here talking about the TRL days and just how really magical it was. But like, what was it like when did you realize that you guys had made it in America? And what was that frenzy like at that time?
Man, I'll tell you, it's funny because Carson Daly was, you know, at the time, I don't think he knew what he was wrapping his head around or what.
He said he was the doorman for all the fans that wanted to get to you guys.
Yeah, but I mean, as him as the host, and it was great because we've always had a great relationship with Carson, so much so that, you know, a few years ago, we just got a star on the Walk of Fame and we had Carson come in, you know, as one of our guest speakers because he really meant so much to the band in that time. And it's funny enough because there was another MTV VJ that was being groomed right behind Carson, a guy by the name of Brian McFadden, who I actually have a podcast with now. And so him and I do this podcast together, and every day we talk about the old TRL days and, you know, how crazy it was. And he said his very first interview he ever got to do was us. And he was, you know, scared to death because they're like throwing him to the wolves. And it's like, okay, here's NSYNC. And we were clowns. We were, you know, we wanted to act up, and he's trying to get through it. Just like, okay, I got to ask this. He's got people in his ear. And
I remember Brian very well.
Yeah, Brian's a good guy. I mean, they're all, and I have a lot of friends that used to be, you know, MTV VJs and, you know, it was such a fraternity. It really was. It was TRL created this whole like college life almost, to where each sorority would come in. You know, you'd have the Backstreet sorority, you'd have the NSYNC sorority, you'd have Korn, you'd have Limp Bizkit, you'd have all these, like, all over the place. Eminem, you know, all these guys would come in, but they were their own sorority type thing, but yet at the same school. You know, that's the only way I could really describe it.
Yeah, it was really this sort of universal, like, you know, we talked about remembering, like, seeing, and some of our guests that we've had on too, those moments where when it went from, hey, we're just on, you know, we're doing our thing, to pull, and having watched TRL, to pulling up, seeing the crowd there and realizing, holy crap, that,
yeah,
they're here for us. Like that, that sort of rite of passage of, like, I mean, that had to have been insane for you guys at the peak of it all.
Well, there were a lot of moments, you know, like that, where, you know, you would see things like TRL, or one of the big ones for us was the Disney special that we did. And when we got asked to do this Disney special, apparently, you know, the it goes that Backstreet had turned it down. So they're like, oh, so we'll get NSYNC to do it. So we did this Disney special, and, you know, we couldn't get arrested in the United States. Nobody had a clue who we were. We wouldn't do anything. That Disney special dropped, and suddenly we were a household name, and it just became the biggest thing. So after that, bands were dying to get on to do this Disney special. You know, here they were, like, stretching. Who could we get? Who could we get? Oh, get NSYNC. And now it was like, oh my God, we're going to make it. We're actually doing a Disney special. Same with TRL. You know, it was like TRL starts, and it's like, oh, this little afternoon program where they hoping they can get some eyes on it, you know, to watch a countdown, excuse me, of your favorite videos or whatever. And it became this whole, you know, a TRL mecca where they, I think they even had an awards or something like that. You know, it became its own entity. But there was a lot of different things that, whether it was a tour, whether it was shows that we would do, and then you would see it start to blow up, which was awesome.
Yeah, but once people got a look at you guys and saw you on TRL or Disney,
we wouldn't sell bedspreads.
But listen, part of the reason we talked to Carson about this, part of the reason we're doing this podcast and why we think 90s nostalgia is so strong right now is the last time before all the fractured distractions of, you know, at the time, TRL on MTV was like Snapchat, Instagram, and TikTok in one. If a teenager wanted to see you guys, everyone watched it at the same time.
Yeah.
Now you got to do, I don't know, all this different stuff, but it was the last time that a show like that could have such a universal impact and help a band's career in one interview.
Well, and we've discussed it a lot. You know, we even joke about it to this day. One of our, you know, major steps that we took was we made a website. You know, it was like, oh, NSYNC.com. We have a website now. So now we have a place that people can go and, you know, hear new music or buy merch or whatever. And, you know, other than that, the phones were just those little flip phones where you could make a phone call to somebody, or unless you had a little SkyTel pager and play, you know, Battleship or whatever it was with your friends. But there was no, you know, like you said, there was no social media, there was no other opportunities for people to get out there and go, well, what's my band doing now? Like, how do I find out? Do I got to read it in the newspaper? Do I have to watch like a update on MTV or whatever? And it's really sad that, you know, MTV was such a part of our culture, like it was, you know, to see what it is now is tough, because it's, you know, now it's like, if you want to watch music videos, you're going to watch them on your phone or, you know, on your tablet or on your computer, you know.
Yeah, you're looking up YouTube, right? You're YouTubing everything now, right?
It's basically made for you. It's not, I have to sit through three videos of this band that I don't like to hopefully see the band that I do like. It's, oh, the band that I like, I'm just going to Google all of their videos, see what else is like that band. Oh, now I found, discovered a new band that I like because it's like that band, you know, and you just don't get that anymore. And you know, it's the old, back in the day when everything was vinyl, you know, getting the vinyl, getting it home, opening it up, reading the notes, reading the lyrics, whatever it was, the thank you.
Like blowing off the dust and just like the feeling of that. Oh
my
God.
I remember buying Billy Joel Glass Houses and going home with my buddy. And we did. We opened it. We read all that. We played it from first song to the end of the album.
Yeah. And that's what you do, you know, because it's tangible, because it's right there. And then when you're done, you put it up on the shelf and you're like, wow, that's cool. Now I have Billy Joel, you know, right here, which is an awesome album, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I learned that way too. You know, it started with albums, then went to cassettes, and then, you know, finally CDs. And it was all about getting that CD. And you see the jokes now all the time about how we used to all have those little car carriers with all your favorite CDs in it.
Yes, totally.
You know, giant notebook, right?
Yeah, and it was all over the place. You know, whatever.
Case logic, right? Case logic.
Yeah.
It's funny. I have like five of them here. I'm going through my upstairs right now and found like five of them that I'm throwing out because I'm like, when am I ever going to use these again? Like, it's like you got to get rid of CDs. Everything's on your phone.
I saw somebody posted something saying, you think driving and texting is dangerous? You should have seen me in the 90s going through my giant notebook of CDs while I'm driving.
My case logic trying to figure out what CD I was putting in next.
Oh, God, that is so funny. It's really, you're so right, though, about it, about how, like, we just... I don't know if you guys saw, but we just watched the making of the, it was a documentary on Netflix about the making of We Are the World when they did.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Amazing.
Wasn't that amazing?
So good.
Especially that Waylon Jennings was just like, I don't do Swahili.
That was hilarious. Like, I mean, we were glued to the screen watching that, but it made me think of that period of time. I mean, that was 80s, obviously, but like the late 80s when, you know, when you would literally like wait for the Thriller video to drop, like it had, you were just like, everybody was gathered around the TV or We Are the World or whatever. Like it was, you know, it was like, it was just a huge moment. And, you know, these huge moments, which our generation don't have those because everything is just so accessible. There's no like waiting for that. You know, even waiting on movie lines. And I remember, you know, where we'd do that with a big movie, but it's
when shopping malls were really cool because you had to go in and you had to buy the new CD or Peaches or all those places where you get all, you know, CDs from. But it's funny you brought that up because that to me, when I watched that, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, here's all these amazing bands and artists, mostly all these amazing artists, and each one, you know, more iconic than the next, from Cyndi Lauper, Bruce Springsteen, you know, Bob Dylan, who felt so out of place.
Right. He was so out of place. Right.
It was this thing that I looked at like, holy cow, like we had some of those moments, you know, we had those times where you would go in and I'm looking at them and going, I know exactly what's going through their heads right now. They're like, well, I just happened to be in town for the awards for the Grammys. And afterwards, I guess we're all going to go back and do this song. Who knows what it's going to be? We know now, hindsight's 2020. But at the time, they're just, hey, let's just go do this and see what happens. And some of them are like, I don't know if I really have time for this. And can you imagine, like, if you were asked to do that and then you missed it? You were just like, oh, I was too busy for We Are the World.
I will say this. When Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, and Lionel Richie ask you to show up for something, the hell would say no to that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but Lionel, first of all, like hosting that show that night, which where he's winning all of his own awards, and backstage talking about how Cyndi Lauper's like, oh, my boyfriend doesn't love the song. I don't know if I'm going to come after the show. Like, and then and hearing her on the song, like she, you can't even imagine that song without her.
You know, though, Madonna and Whitney Houston were not on that.
Right. But I do remember someone saying, like, it was between Madonna and Cyndi Lauper. I was like, you know, did Madonna get asked? And I know somebody fought for Cyndi Lauper, but I thought of that, too. I was like, Madonna was huge then.
That's and you know, that's like saying, you know, I don't know, I couldn't compare to other amazing people. Like, you're going to, if you don't get Madonna, you get Cyndi Lauper. You know, Cyndi Lauper is absolutely incredible. You know, it's like you've got this whole amazing cast. But I always wonder if Whitney and Madonna were ever thinking that, God, I wish I would have been there. I should have gone.
Must totally. Have, in hindsight. Yeah.
Because it was huge.
And then we felt so bad for Sheila E., who like was clearly there because they wanted Prince to come in and they had carved out that slot for Prince. And then it ended up being Huey Lewis, who killed it.
Actually, you know, when you watch it, you're like, oh, come on, you got this, Huey. And then when he does it, you can't imagine any other way.
Totally.
Were you guest performers on other tours, or did you have guest performers on your tour? Was there collaborations that you made with other great artists?
We made a lot of collaborations, whether or not very, very few would come on tour. But we did a song with Phil Collins. We did a song with Gloria Estefan.
Oh,
we
did
a song, you know, we had Nelly, we had Lisa Left Eye on our tracks.
You know, we interviewed Richard Marx and his wife, Daisy.
Oh my God, don't even get
Richard says that song is probably the favorite thing he's ever written.
I would agree with him because, and that guy is like I actually, after the band, went and wrote myself with him, and it was so hard to write with him because the whole time it's just like, you know, you're looking at Richard Marx. So my big joke was, even when we were recording with him, I always called him Sir Richard Marx. So it was like,
I mean, yeah, he was an
80s. Richard Marx, sir. Yeah, he was an icon, amazing, amazing writer, amazing singer, amazing performer. Like, you know, I know in the scheme of things, Richard Marx is going to have his place, but I don't think he's going to get his due diligence and where he really deserves, because he's an absolute talent. And we had Stevie Wonder play harmonica on one of our songs, you know, so.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. We did a song with Michael Jackson, you know, so it's like we got to meet these people and do these songs. I mean, you know, I think the most surreal of anything was when we recorded with Phil Collins, and that was for the Tarzan soundtrack. And he had the whole thing together, and they were just looking. They had this one song called Trash in the Camp, and they were looking to redo it. And he's like, kind of want to, you know, get an up-tempo kind of vibe to it and get a new sound on it. So he asked us to come in and do it. And there was a part where I always do the harmonies. Like, Justin and JC usually do the leads, and I'll do their harmonies on verses or whatever. And Phil was like, all right, so I'll grab Chris to do the harmonies of this verse that I'm going to start singing. So I'm thinking, okay, cool. He's going to go in, then I'm going to go in, whatever. He's like, no, come in. And I'm like, right now with you? And it was like, you know, that moment of singing into a microphone and realizing Phil Collins is standing there singing into the microphone next to you. I mean,
yes.
You know, growing up the way I grew up, and No Jacket Required being the first cassette that I ever
owned. Oh my God, yes.
You know, those were moments, Thriller being the first album that I'd ever bought, and, you know, getting to do these things with Michael and actually shaking, giving him a hug and looking at him and, you know, hearing him cough or whatever it is, you know, it's like random things. He's just sitting there. He's not this icon. I mean, he is, but he's not like this godlike.
He's just a man. Yeah.
Dude, you know, and that was so weird to actually take some of these artists then and go, wow, they're just human. I mean, they're amazing humans, but they're just human.
And we are like, I can't even imagine that moment of getting pulled in with Phil Collins, where it's just like,
it's so cool that you can all appreciate each other's talent, right? Yeah. You're all just people, But I'm sure Phil was like, these boys sing harmony like on off the charts, right? So like, and you're feeling the same way about him, but you know, there's a mutual respect for the talent that's so cool.
That's what Richard Marx said too about you. Like, he could not say enough amazing things about that experience. Like, he just thought you guys were, I mean, it was amazing to hear, like, generationally too, you know, like when people know good, they know good. Like, these guys are good.
It's funny because we learned, you know, our a cappella that we do, you know, that's how, again, I started, was with these a cappella bands. So even in the beginning, when they're like, okay, here's a song, we're going to do it to a track. And I'm like, what? Why are we doing it to a track? Like, let's do it a cappella. That's, you know, what I love. And you know, to know that that was our bread and butter, and we'd sit for hours and hours. And the reason I love the guys so much and the reason the group got along so well was because we would be in a stairwell and walking up the stairs, and suddenly we're like, hey, there's a little bit of reverb right here, and stop what we're doing. And the five of us just sit in the stairwell and start doing like some harmonies and some songs. And I remember we were doing an award show and we were in the bathroom, because the bathroom was like one of those big, you know, locker room type bathrooms, and had great acoustics. So we were doing, you know, rehearsing in this bathroom, but it was kind of shared by a lot of people. And suddenly the door cracks open and we're in the middle of the song, and I look and it's freaking Paul Simon. Mm-hmm. And Paul Simon just stops. He goes, you know, he's talking about our harmonies. And that, to me, you know, as much arranging and everything that I did, that to me blew me away, because I used to love like African music, like Ladysmith Black Mambazo. And that's a lot of my arrangements for these really cool African, you know, chants of these, where they would sing like 20 part harmonies. I mean, it was
like a Graceland type vibe.
And Graceland was one of my favorite albums of all time. And Ladysmith was on that. And when he said that, like, that was almost like I'm cool. I'm not going to tear up or anything like that. Like, no big deal. It's just,
I'm not crying.
Paul Simon. Appreciating our harmonies.
In the bathroom.
In a bathroom of wherever we were.
I just love that as a group, and just like as a brotherhood, how much you all loved each other. Like, I could actually picture it when you just said, like, we're going up a staircase and we're just, you stop and just start singing. Like, that's very Disney to me. That's very kind of like a perfect moment of this like talented group of people who like are in the moment and love each other. It's just cool. It's cool to hear.
And like you said, it all, you know, it all starts, you know, from the beginning. It starts with that, you know, friendship and that brotherhood that we had. And, you know, and I will tell you, you know, we are not the perfect group. There's been, you know, knockdown, drag 'em out fights and arguments and, you know, all these things. But in the end, you know, one big thing, especially with myself, you know, I can call some of the other guys any name I want to call them and, you know, say that they're a jerk or whatever. Like, but if somebody else does it, you know, we're going fists, you know,
because it's family.
And that's what it is. We were brothers, and we fought like brothers, and we played like brothers.
Yeah, I've always heard the expression, like, if families that don't fight, you'd have to worry about, because that means like there's a lot of like people are not talking about what's really going on. You're human, like, you gotta let it out. And
we know the negatives about each and every one. You know, I'm sure, you know, Lance can tell you what an asshole I can be sometimes, and impatient, you know. We can all, you know, we're gonna have problems today with this person or this person. You know, because here we were starting in Europe, and you know, you think that we go over to Europe for say 6 months. We travel to Spain for a day. So they'd have every newspaper, every magazine, whoever coming to interview us. We'd sit in a room for, you know, 13 hours in a day and just do interview after interview after interview. So there's no question that any of us haven't been asked that we don't know what the answer is.
For each other, right?
I don't know. I could tell you each one of their favorite foods. I'm sure it's changed. I mean, especially now that we get geritol in our diets and everything. Certain things you can't eat, all the Oreos anymore. Or maybe we look like we still do, but you know, it's changed a bit. But when we get back together, and you know, the songs we just did together, and the promo we did for it and everything, it was the weirdest feeling in the world, because it's almost like 20 years had just disappeared. And, you know, we were right back to where we started. And
yeah. How did that song come about? Better Place. It's on the Troll soundtrack. I love the song. And Lance came on right before it dropped. And me and my youngest daughter were just obsessed with it.
You know, Justin just finished a new album and he'd been working on all these songs, and he had that song and a couple other songs. And he was like, you know, these are NSYNC songs. Like, he wrote it and he was like, this is an NSYNC song. I can't, you know, I couldn't do this song with a clean conscience knowing that this is the guys, this is all of us. So he came to us and said, you know, I've got this song for Trolls. And I thought to myself, man, I got a 6-year-old, like, this is right in my wheelhouse.
Perfect.
And, you know, he came with the song and we heard the song and I was like, dude, first of all, the song's amazing. And then, you know, we went in one at a time. JC went in, I went in, Joey went in, Lance went in, and everybody that went in, it was like, sounded more and more. It was so weird because, you know, the best way I could describe it was like hauntingly familiar. You know, it was like this brand new song where you're like, wow, I really like this new song. But it's like when, you know, a band that hadn't been together forever finds this off track or something like that and releases it. You're like, wow, this sounds like a track written today, but by this band that I loved back then. So it was very haunting that, oh man, I hear all the sounds, I hear the parts. It's crazy.
Chris, I feel like he wrote that song about you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he says, I'm already up, but you bring me higher. Whatever we do it better together. Like, it's almost like a full circle moment. It felt to me like the song was written about your band.
Well, and that's, you know, that's what he said. And the other songs, you know, that we have are even more like that, and more where, you know, you're like, there's no way anybody else could have done this record but us. And it just, you know, it was time for the five of us to get back in. And, you know, the problem is you've got five individuals now who have been apart for 23 years, you know, and, you know, even though we are brothers and come back together like nothing's happened, you come back together and it's, oh, Justin's manager's over there, Lance's manager's over there, Chris's manager's over there. You know, it's not, we come back as a band, we come back as, you know, Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC for the last 20 years. And that makes it a little bit more daunting than just five guys who wanted to, you know, bust their butts and be a music group.
Yeah. It's like that there, the stakes are a little bit higher. There's more teams and, you know, it's sort of like the blessing and the curse of it all, but it must have felt like, has it, and like you said, you know, you're a dad now and everyone's, you know, older, and does it feel like you can, when you are together and you can put the rest of that sort of riffraff aside, that it is like, whoa, how cool that we are still here and doing this. Like, right, you know,
you got to get into a bathroom or a stairwell.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Everybody else.
Well, the only thing about that is there is a difference now that when we do that, it's not, my son would say doo-doo. It's
not that. He said doo-doo.
You're so the dad of a 6-year-old.
But it's not that, you know, we wouldn't want to go back and just be who we were, because you got to remember that band that everybody saw back then was fearless. You know, that band had no fear. We did everything. We tried everything. I mean, if you look at most of the videos, I've got a broken hand in almost every show we ever did, because I've broken my hand so many times doing backflips or all this crazy stuff we did because we're fearless. And now, not that I'm saying about the backflip part, obviously, but, you know, now that fearlessness is gone, because now there's a being behind us. There's this NSYNC entity that's out there. There's this, you know, we could fail, you know, and mess up everything we had. Whereas when we were young, we weren't afraid to fail because we didn't care.
You had nothing to lose. Nothing.
You're not
going to
like Chris Kirkpatrick from Pennsylvania anymore? Oh, well, you didn't like.
That's the beauty of youth, man, in anything, whatever business you're in or athletics or whatever. It's the beauty of being young.
Yep. Fearlessness. And, And I think we get that back a little bit. You know, when I know my feelings and the few little things we've done. We did the only performance we really did was when Justin got a lifetime achievement from MTV. We came out and did like, you know, a couple little songs with them. And I can tell you, you know, if I'm doing a song by myself in front of 20 people, I'm probably more afraid than if I'm doing a song with those four guys in front of half of the world.
Will there be more music from your NSYNC and possibly a reunion tour? Anything that you could tell us?
Anything's possible. You know, there's definitely, you know, we didn't record just one song together.
We
did a little more, and you know, we've definitely been kicking the tires on each other and on where we are at in our lives, because, you know, one thing we don't want to do is we don't want to all get together and go, oh, well, we're doing this for a money grab. You know, we're doing this because, you know, everybody's making us do it or whatever. You know, we want to do it because we want to do it. And we want to do it because we miss it. And we miss each other. We miss the fans. We miss the love of performing. You know, we all do it in different ways. I'm doing like Pop 2K and all these other tours where I'll host and perform songs. And Joey and I just the other night did a set at some, you know, private function. And, you know, so we do it in little tiny spurts, but the five of us together, you know, haven't done it in a long time. And it's a way different beast when you get the five of us out there rather than just one or two here and there.
I would say, yeah, do it for the right reasons, but it would bring a lot of people a lot of joy.
Well, and that's one of the right reasons to us.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we've talked about is, you know, we've had fans that have been there through thick and thin, and 23 years of not doing anything together, of having to go see me by myself or having to go see Joey by himself or whatever it is. And, you know, they definitely play a big role in all of our decision making and what we would want to do, you know, mostly for them and mostly, you know, for the five of us to have fun.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I have to, I know we can't keep you much longer, but I do have to ask you, I'm always fascinated.
I don't know where this is going. But
you don't know where this is going.
I'm sure you don't know either.
No, I really have to ask you about The Masked Singer. Like, I want to ask, I'm dying because I'm fascinated by that show. I'm fascinated by what the behind the scenes of it is. The fact that, to me, like, William Shatner did that show and he's in his 90s, like, it always seems like it's so CIA secret operative. Like, how you keep it so secret? And was it fun? Are you happy you did it? Was it scary?
I'm ecstatic I did it. It was so much fun. I was kind of nervous about it. I'm like, I didn't know what to expect. But the people, the production, everything about that show was top notch, and they were so good. And it was really, really secretive. I mean, it was like, you know, all jokes aside, like, it wasn't one of those things where you're like, oh man, tell all my friends, hey, I'm on this. You know, you sign things saying you don't say anything about it anywhere. And then even when you get there, like, as soon as we'd get into the car, they would have a sweatshirt, one of those big shield masks that was like, you know, two-way. And they even put gloves on just in case you had hand tattoos or whatever. And anytime you were either out of your trailer or out of that car, you know, you had all that stuff on until you put the costume on. And it was, but they, you know, they really, the people that run that were absolutely amazing. And I've done a lot of shows, a lot of different things where everybody's great, but on that one especially, they were really top notch, and they took care of the artist, and they made you feel comfortable because they know it's a very uncomfortable show. You know, I was singing with I looked like I was like 7 feet tall, and I had this giant beak and these huge wings to my chest. So every time I took in a breath, it almost like constricted myself, and singing through a little piece of plexiglass with holes in it.
It looks so hard. That's what I mean. And when the reveals happen, it's always sort of like you feel so heartbroken for the person because they're just dripping in sweat because they're in the costume.
Yeah, you don't see any of them come out like
looking polished.
Their hair perfectly falls into place. I saw what I looked like, and I was like, yeah, that's miserable.
It's like a Disney character in the park at the end of the day.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
I know. Thank you for talking about that, because it's always fascinated me sort of how it works, because it has to be so secret. I mean, that was really the big question of, like, how are they shielding you when you're getting in and out of a trailer or all of those things? And also, one last question too. Were you involved in the design of the costume or the songs? Did you come to them and say, these are the songs I want to sing? Or do they kind of lead you with the clues and all of what the show is?
I found out I was doing The Masked Singer on a Tuesday, and I was home with my son that following Sunday. So it was like, I found out on a Tuesday, I think I was a replacement or something. And I went in, left Wednesday, got there Thursday. They showed me the costume Friday, and we figured out what song I was going to do. It was really kind of tough because they have to get the rights to the song. So it's like you threw a bunch of songs at them, and they came back with no's on everything. And then they said, well, what about this song? And I was like, all right, I'll do that song. And but the costume was already done. In fact, I think it was for a girl, because when I saw it before, the renderings had like a little dress on it and stuff. So they put pants on it and changed it up. But I had no say in being a hummingbird.
Okay.
Because I don't think I would have done it if I knew I was going to. I'd be a scorpion. That's what I wanted to do.
Right. Oh, yeah. Your hat.
Yeah, they made me a hummingbird.
Oh gosh. Well, I love to hear those stories when the shows are fun, when it's a great experience.
Definitely was fun.
Dude, thank you for this interview. This was so cool, man.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, this was awesome. And is your son into music? Is he a singer?
He's into everything. He sings, he dances, really good at basketball, really good at baseball. He loves doing art. So there's nothing, so far we're trying to throw a lot of stuff at him, but there's nothing that he doesn't go, oh man, I'm not good at that. Like, he's pretty good at everything so
far. That's the way to do it. Just like throw it all at them and just see what sticks. Totally. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for all of it.
We're looking forward to, maybe some of the new tracks you guys recorded. And what's the name of your podcast?
So we have a podcast. Brian and I have a podcast called Name Drop. And Name Drop. Basically, that's what it is we sit there for anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour with celebrities and just want to hear stories. It's like, tell us stories about who you've met, experiences that, normally wouldn't go in an interview section, just like some random night you were out and Guy Fieri was out drinking with you or whatever it is. And we've got a lot of really cool guests and we've had some amazing, amazing stories and stuff that, I had no idea that paths had crossed like they did.
That's such a great idea, because those are the best stories.
Well, and Brian, of course, is really good because, here Brian was on MTV for all those years as a VJ, and getting to know how to ask the questions. He knows the timeline. It took us a while though to get him off of MTV time and into the podcast world, to where, he's like spitting like 50 million questions out. And I was like, hey, Brian, might want to slow it down, settle it down just a little bit. You don't have to go to a quick commercial break here. It's like, we can let this question breathe or whatever.
That's hilarious.
It's been fun. And like I said, we've had some great, great stories about stuff that I would have never, put two artists together. We just had, not too long ago, we had Low Cash. I don't know if you know them. They're a country band. And they were telling these stories about the Beach Boys, because they've been working with the Beach Boys, and just mind-blowing stuff was... So it's fun.
I can't wait to listen. Yeah, we're going to keep following all your stuff, man. And thank you so much for joining us. This was awesome.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, see you.
Take care.
Another really great, interesting interview.
Just so fascinating, because I feel like, I feel like we've seen the faces of NSYNC, or at least I say we, but I just mean me. But like, knowing the stories and like piecing it all together. And I swear it really wasn't until I knew we were going to be interviewing Chris and looked at, like his bio. And I was like, wait, he started NSYNC.
Right. It was interesting hearing Lance's point of view of being like the last guy to audition. And the next day you're going to Germany. Whereas Chris spent years trying to find these guys.
Yeah.
And he was like, there was no time for sleep. I had worked too hard to do this. I was going to ride it as long as I could. And I feel like he was very present and has a lot of gratitude for all those moments, like working with Michael Jackson, or just, when you build something, when you put something together yourself, I feel like there's just appreciation,
sure. So much. And just how much he cares about how they move into this next chapter. Like, they're not just diving in, clearly. They're trying to be deliberate about how they do it and why they do it and when they're doing it. And it, they sound so smart that way.
But it does sound like they are planning on doing it.
I always, what he didn't say never say never. He said anything is possible.
And he said, we didn't just record one song.
Right. Exactly.
So we got that.
Exactly. I think
that would be cool. And we learned that is there a reality show or a talent show that you don't watch? Last week with Candace on Dancing with the Stars.
I know. Dancing with the Stars is the one I watched more. The Masked Singer is, it has always sort of been that, like, I can't not watch it, but I'm totally freaked out by it too.
But they're I've never seen
I don't it. Watch it religiously. I watch it like it like cool. I tap in or Quinn would show me like the YouTube videos of like, you know, I think Dennis Rodman did like ex NBA players would do it. And you see them like coming out of this crazy. And you know, Chris is a singer. So that's the gift of like when there's a good singer on a show like that. But usually they don't even have singers.
Singer. Dennis Rodman comes out and sings like terribly.
No, that's the point. I think they like auto tune a lot of their voices and stuff. But when it's a good singer, you really know. You know, it's somebody who's, you know, a lot of musicians do it too. But anyway, anytime I see a reality, and I'm also just fascinated by reality television, like what the thought process is of doing it. Is it fun? Is it a nightmare? Do you, you know, regret every second of it? And so far,
I agree. Leaving your comfort zone, that whole thing, you know, is interesting. But great interview. And
yes, thanks everybody for joining us.
Yes, thank you for listening. We got a great one next week. And, have a great week, everybody. And you too, Christine.
You too, David.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNineties Called. See you next time.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.